What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, December 9th, 2021. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. And we've got a lot to talk about. And so we're going to do news until it's time to open up the phones for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble. So let's get right on into it. There has been another victory for Judicial Watch. The Delaware Supreme Court has demanded answers on Biden's hidden Senate documents. Now, when he left the Senate, all of those documents went to the University of Delaware, supposedly for researchers to be able to access. But the University of Delaware is sitting tight on them. They refused to release Biden's records and said they will not be released until 2 years after Biden retires. And the reason they're looking at those records here is because there is evidence in there of an investigation into an accusation of sexual assault levied against Joe Biden by Tara Reid back in 1993. And that's obviously something they do not want to be made public, especially if Biden is really serious about running again in 2024. I would seriously rethink that, Joe. Polls for Biden are down to 22%. Harris is even worse at 12%. And the latter may be the reason why Kamala's staff are leaving this. You know, only 40% of voters think she's even qualified to be president. And a Rasmussen Report survey conducted between December 5th and 6th found that 39% of U.S. voters held a favorable opinion of the VP, 2 points lower than her 41% standing back in August. So I'm not sure. I mean, we have dueling polls here with one at 37 and one at 12%. That is pretty abysmal. And even Steve Bannon is out there saying, these are numbers that we have not seen before. This is worse than when Nixon was walking out to that helicopter after resigning. And yeah, it is really abysmal there. Biden's coattails aren't what they used to be. We were talking before about how Biden's nominee for comptroller of the currency, Saul Omarova, very communistic in her thinking, has now withdrawn her nomination following criticisms over, you know, her policies and philosophies regarding economics. And now Biden's nominee to run the FCC, Gigi Sohn, is running into a brick wall. And this is because of past comments she's made regarding conservative media. And the GOP is finally standing up to the fact that there is a lot of tolerated censorship directed towards the conservative movement by Twitter, by Google, by Facebook. And to have the head of the FCC be in favor of that kind of one-sided debate is seen as very, very dangerous. So that nomination may not go anywhere. Over in the House, Representative Boebert basically went on the warpath against Nancy Pelosi in Congress, chastising her for treating the House of Representatives as if it was her own personal property. He said, Congress is not your house. And she reacted rather unpleasantly to that. Two more of her staffers have quit, fueling speculation of a coming retirement, which I would expect following next year's midterms. If the Democrats lose control of the House, I think Pelosi will probably retire rather than remain in the House and have to deal with that daily humiliation. But we'll see what happens there. John Kennedy got up there castigating his fellow politicians, saying, I see frauds and liars in every direction. Well, yeah, it's Washington, D.C. It's the big swamp. You know, that's what you're definitely going to see here. Over at the Jeffrey Epstein, actually the Maxwell case, there is this melange, if you will, regarding the cover-up, the pedophilia, the lies, and obvious efforts to obfuscate the sordid truths. And the biggest truth of all they are trying to hide is that Epstein appeared to be running an underage honey trap operation for Israeli intelligence. In fact, One American News had a report earlier today asking why aren't they naming the names of Epstein's visitors who took advantage of his generosity with other girls' bodies. And that's a very good question. Story coming on out from Station Gossip asking, why isn't Bill Clinton a witness in the Maxwell trial? Because flight documents show he flew on the Epstein jet 26 times in 2 years. Probably got frequent flyer miles for that one here. And apparently, one of the reasons Alec Baldwin and his wife have now canceled their social media accounts, it has emerged that Alec Baldwin's name is in Epstein's little black book. So, very embarrassing for that here. Getting over to the Jussie Smollett trial, the jury has begun deliberations, and the prosecutor said there is overwhelming evidence that the former actor lied to police about being the victim of an anti-gay racist attack. And the defense attorney are saying the charges are all based on complete lies. They're trying to put it off on these two brothers who helped Jussie pull this off. Jussie Smollett testified at his own trial and, according to experts, did not really do a very good job. And his original claim was, Smollett is black and he's also gay, said he was walking home when two men approached him and attacked him while yelling racist and homophobic slurs. He originally said these were white guys. They had Trump supporter paraphernalia. And of course, the two guys who actually were his co-conspirators were black individuals. And one of the reasons that remained hidden for so long is Jussie Smollett made a serious mistake when he staged his fake hate crime because he wanted it to be caught on a security camera and didn't realize that he was actually outside that particular camera's field of view. So there was no tape of the actual staged attack. Smollett also admitted that he actually tampered with some of the evidence at the scene before the police arrived to question him. I guess he was, decorating the set, making sure the staging was correct, and so forth and so on. Meanwhile, a Black Lives Matter leader out in Los Angeles, Malina Abdullah, who's a former CSU professor and a rabid defund the police activist, is calling the Jussie Smollett trial a white supremacist charade and that you should never believe the police. Well, I don't know about that one here. Anyway, Jussie Smollett is apparently thinking he's going to get off with a wrist slap, and he probably will, and he's already planning a comeback in Hollywood. And what it is there is a movie called B-Boys Blues. Now, he did not act in it, but he directed it. It's an independent film. It does not have a distributor yet. The basic story is two black gay men who fall in love despite coming from different socioeconomic backgrounds. I'm sorry, but Romeo and Juliet has already been done to death, and I don't think this film stands a chance against Spielberg's version of West Side Story. So I wouldn't put too much on that one here. Over at Project Veritas, James O'Keefe scored a crucial legal win yesterday. A federal judge ordered that a special master be appointed to review the data on O'Keefe's cellular phones that were seized by the FBI in November. And O'Keefe was very concerned, a lot of people were very concerned, that the reason for this raid, supposedly over one of the Biden's diaries, which had already been turned over to law enforcement. This was the diary that belonged to Ashley Biden, which contains some very damaging comments about Joe Biden. But James O'Keefe couldn't verify its authenticity, and he turned it over to the police. And despite the fact that the diary was back in the possession of law enforcement, the FBI raided his home in November and seized his cell phones, raising the possibility that what they were really after was not Ashley Biden's diary, but all of O'Keefe's contacts to try and find out who might be blowing the whistle on government wrongdoing. And so O'Keefe has basically scored a victory. The judge is saying this special master, in theory, will review the data on O'Keefe's cellular phone and only turn over to the FBI materials connected to Ashley Biden's diary. So that is a bit of a win, assuming the special master is not blackmailed or bribed to loot all that information for the FBI here. We are still waiting for the Supreme Court to reach a decision on that Mississippi abortion law case, but already we're seeing Democrats react as if they expect that Roe versus Wade will be overturned. And out in California, Governor Gruesome Newsom is vowing to set up an abortion sanctuary state. He says they may even fly women from other states to California to get abortions paid for by the California taxpayer. I'm sure the California taxpayers will be very happy to be footing the bill for all of these flights here. Meanwhile, proving that judges can be gotten to, there, Judge Otis D. Wright II has dismissed a lawsuit filed by actress Rose McGowan, alleging that Harvey Weinstein engaged in racketeering to silence her and derail her career before she came out accusing him of rape. And Judge Wright had dismantled much of McGowan's suit last year. Now he's thrown it out entirely with prejudice, meaning it cannot be refiled. All right, getting into election fraud here. We've been talking about this information coming out of Wisconsin, and some of that information is that a search of the voter rolls found 119,283 active voters who have been on those voter rolls for over 100 years. I guess the secret to long life or immortality is to be a registered voter in Wisconsin. Meanwhile, Jovan Pulitzer has released a new video describing 300,000 violations of the 14th Amendment in Maricopa County, Arizona. Meanwhile, Brad Raffensperger is out there trying to claim that the State Farm suitcase video, this is the video where they brought out the suitcase and had additional ballots. He says it's just an urban myth. It never really happened. It's not there. It's all over the internet. You can find it here. And he says that, you know, kicking out the observers, rolling out suitcases and shoving the ballots through the counting machines three times in the middle of the night, that's perfectly normal, acceptable behavior. I don't know what you're making such a fuss about. Well, we are talking about the future of the country and whether it might have been a little bit better under a second Trump administration rather than the epic disaster we are living through right now. Meanwhile, Arizona State Representative Mark Finchem and Whip Leo Biasucci and Senator Sonny Borelli have announced there will be public hearings on election integrity in Pima County next Monday. So this is spreading out of Maricopa County and going elsewhere. Ultimately, we're going to reach a situation where every American is going to understand that the November 2020 election was rigged in favor of Democrats at all levels of the government, including the White House, and the government and the corporate media will simply stand firm and say, you know, we dare you to do something about it. Might prove to be dangerous. I mean, look what happened over in Myanmar. All right, let's talk about COVID-19 here. A while back, the FDA made a request saying that they would need 50 years to fully release the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine data. Okay, that it was going to take them. Now they're back and saying it's going to be 75 years. before they can release the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine data. So you'll only find out the truth of what these vaccine makers did to you in 75 years, or maybe 80, or maybe 90. But clearly the goal here is that you will all have died before the truth comes out about how much damage these vaccines have caused here. Anyway, we reported on Tuesday a federal judge blocked the last of the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandates for businesses. That's three strikes. Under the rules of baseball, Biden should be out here. Meanwhile, the Senate voted 52-48 to repeal Biden's vaccine mandate, which has already been declared illegal. And if the resolution passes the Democrat-controlled House, Biden has already said he will veto it. So he's out there pushing that mandate, even though mandates don't work, the vaccines don't work, the masks don't work, the social distancing don't work. The latest variant of COVID, Omicron, is milder than a common cold. And still, they're pushing these shots as hard as they can. Why? Well, for one thing, they make lots and lots of money. You know, these pharmaceutical companies are raking in billions and billions of dollars. These shots are not free. They're paid for by your tax money. It's one of the reasons, you know, taxes are very high. And frankly, I'd rather this tax money, instead of being gifted to the pharmaceutical industries, I would rather it was being put into education. I mean, real education, not critical race theory, and not this new woke math that strives for equity, but real science, engineering, and math that will allow the United States to compete economically against the rest of the world, which we're not able to do right now. Meanwhile, a story coming on out of Women's Systems, Omicron may have already peaked in South Africa's Ground Zero. This might be very good news. It may be signaling the end of this whole COVID nonsense, because respiratory infections do historically tend to burn out after 2 years, and it's been 2 years. Now, getting on back to the vaccines here, data from Medicare shows 48,465 deaths of patients over the age of 80 within 14 days of the shots. Okay? And that, you know, maybe when they talk about culling the population and the useless eaters, maybe it was being deliberately targeted on the old. Maybe that's why they were putting these COVID patients in these nursing homes, triggering this massive COVID outbreak and deaths among the nursing home patients. So it's really kind of ugly. Meanwhile, thanks to a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, Pfizer has been forced to release some of their vaccine data, and it is a bit of a bombshell. You will not hear this on the corporate media. By February of this year, Pfizer had already received more than 1,200 reports of death allegedly caused by the vaccine, and tens of thousands of other reported adverse events, including 23 cases of spontaneous abortions out of 270 pregnancies, and more than 2,000 reports of cardiac disorders. This is Pfizer's own data. They knew there was a problem with their vaccine, and they kept on pushing it out there because, hey, it's making money, and as long as it's making money, all sins are forgiven. That seems to be the corporate mentality here. Meanwhile, a former Health and Human Services advisor and a virologist has come on out saying it is the fully vaccinated who are a major source of COVID virus transmission. Now, both the FDA and the World Health Organization have admitted these gene therapy treatments do not stop you from getting COVID and do not stop you from passing it along. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials here, and I'll be back to rant more about the news after these few words.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719 extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Wall Street wizards on the land from a mental institution claim private retirement funds. Yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, we'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash. Will Congress pay the piper?
Welcome back to our show here, and we are talking about COVID. And before the commercial break, we were talking about this former Health and Human Services advisor who says that the fully vaccinated are a major source of the COVID virus transmission. And that may be the explanation for this report that there was a cruise ship with a fully vaccinated passengers, fully vaccinated crew, and somehow COVID just broke out there, and the ship had to come back to port. That's how bad it was out there. And a reminder, over in Germany, not a single child under 18 has died from COVID during the first 15 months of the pandemic. Or the pandemic, as the case may be here. There was a unfortunate report that came on out where the number of pilots dying took a major spike upward during 2021. And there was this graphic. It was sort of a memorial wall for pilots. And it had, like, you know, one pilot who passed away in 2019 and two in 2020. And then just a huge number in 2021. And there does seem to be a problem out there. And there's a new term of craft called vaccident. And this is the idea of one of these people who've been vaccinated dropping dead when they're in a critical position, driving a train, flying an aircraft. And as the latest example, there was this WestJet flight that had to be diverted to Calgary because of a pilot medical emergency. And they're not saying what the specific emergency was. Fortunately, the co-pilot took control of the aircraft and made a safe landing. So, story coming on out. This is from the American Heart Association. They found that COVID-19 vaccines increased the risk of heart attack by 127%. And the really interesting thing is when the American Heart Association put this up on Twitter, Twitter slapped an unreliable label on there saying, oh, you can't, this is a crack, kooky, bunch of kooky, tinfoil hat wearing people over there at the American Heart Association. That's how hard they're working, you know, to protect those vaccine company profits, because that is the top priority here. Another article, this one came on out, it's saying pathological evidence shows how COVID-19 vaccinations cause the lymphocytes to attack the body's own organs. And that would be a real problem. We know that these vaccines are destroying people's natural immunity. They are more susceptible to ordinary cold and flu. And it really is a bad, bad situation. Meanwhile, data coming on, this is from the American Thinker, data coming out of the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System indicates the COVID vaccines have killed at least 140,000 Americans. And that is a really ugly number. We have gone past the 1976 swine flu debacle, which we've talked about before on this show. Back in 1976, they came up with a new disease to scare us, swine flu, beware of the swine flu, go and get your vaccines. And the government mandated vaccines back then, just as they are doing now, and they had to cancel the program partway through because it turned out the vaccines were killing 50 times as many people as the flu itself was, and that was a serious dent in the tax base, so the government did intervene there. Speaking of the FDA, they have now authorized AstraZeneca for their COVID-19 antibody treatment to prevent severe infection in patients with weakened immune systems. So this is basically an admission that the vaccines don't work. They know they don't work, and now they're trying to find a way you know, to basically some patentable way to cure the disease. You know, ivermectin is still verboten in this country here. Okay. Anthony Fauci actually came out a while back saying that the COVID PCR test has a fatal flaw. Fauci is the beloved messiah of the medical experts, and he's saying there is a problem with the PCR test, and we have been talking about that for a long time. If you run it for enough cycles, you will get whatever result you want. The more cycles you run, the more unreliable, the more meaningless the results are. And the guy who invented the PCR test said it was never intended to be used as a diagnostic tool. That's not its purpose here. Meanwhile, out in Los Angeles, their school district has now fired 500 employees who refused the vaccine, says they can come back to work as soon as they get the shot. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to our show here. Now, yesterday we were reporting on how there were conflicts of interest between the media that is supposed to be or claims to be keeping you informed about issues of health and safety and the medical industrial complex. And we talked about former CEO of Reuters, James C. Smith, also sat on the board of Pfizer. Well, there's a new revelation. This involves Pfizer board member Dr. Susan Desmond-Hellmann. She served as Facebook's lead independent director prior to joining Pfizer. And she was appointed to the social media platform's board and sat in the directorship from June 2015 until October 2019. And then she moved to Pfizer the following year. So, again, these connections keep turning up. All righty. Somebody accidentally leaked an email that showed the FDA putting pressure on Google to remove a video on monoclonal antibody drugs for COVID. And he just simply said this video should be pulled. They do not want you to know anything other than the approved treatment. And that's the business model. You know, curing patients is a bad business model. Goldman Sachs actually came out and said that. The business model is to keep you sick, to keep you as a permanent customer for whatever is coming out of the laboratory next week. And we're starting to understand there are two laboratories. There are the laboratories in other countries where new diseases are being engineered, and then there are the laboratories inside the United States that are, you know, discovering the cures, as it were. Getting to the international news now, Joe Biden has come out, and I commented on this yesterday. He is saying that the United States will not unilaterally send armed forces into Ukraine, but that if the rest of NATO decides it has to be done, the U.S. will go along. In other words, the war with Russia is on. It's just somebody else's fault. So, anyway, Russia has sent a warning to the U.S. Embassy in Moscow of dangerous consequences for provocations near Russia's borders. This is the day after the Biden-Putin call. And, you know, provocations have been happening. There's no question about it. There's all those surveillance planes, reconnaissance planes, war planes, ships in the Black Sea. Every day there's another provocation. You don't see Russian warships tooling around in the Gulf of Mexico, do you? Okay, that should clarify matters for you here. All righty, former President Trump took a swipe at Biden's handling of Putin during that little phone call, saying that Putin is not worried about Biden. Following the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan. And yes, that did damage U.S. military credibility. It certainly damaged Biden's credibility. It's going to be an albatross around his neck should he, in fact, decide to run in 2024. And so Trump went on to say, Putin is looking at our pathetic surrender in Afghanistan, leaving behind dead soldiers, leaving behind American systems, not to mention $85 billion worth of military equipment. And then he looks at Biden and he's not worried. Well, Trump is making a valid point. You know, Putin is probably not impressed with Joe Biden, but Putin is sharp enough to know that there are people behind Biden who are actually pulling the strings that will have to be reckoned with. During that phone call between Putin and Biden, Putin took the call alone because that had been arranged that way. But it turns out Biden was there surrounded by staffers and aides to make sure he stayed on focus there. Meanwhile, on Tuesday night, Tucker Carlson, you know, blasted politicians who are pushing for a hot war with Russia. And he said, the only question that matters right now is how does intervening in Ukraine help the core interests of the United States? And of course, that's a question no one in Washington is asking. Now, I don't see how intervening militarily in Ukraine really would help the United States of America. I don't see how intervening in Iraq materially helped the United States of America. I don't see how the U.S. intervening in Afghanistan helped the United States of America. Ditto for Syria, ditto for everywhere else the United States is mucking about. You know, it's all about, you know, buying and selling weapons and making more money for the military-industrial complex, and ordinary Americans are left to pick up the tab and, unfortunately, sadly, care for their wounded warriors and bury their war dead. All right. So Tucker Carlson was bang on, he's my favorite Fox News personality. In fact, he's the only one on Fox News I watch anymore. Okay, now, back in 2015, the Ukraine mess got kicked off by none other than Victoria Nuland. And she was then the Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs. And she was the mastermind behind that junta in Kiev. plotting the overthrow of the democratically elected government of President Yanukovych while convincing the ever gullible and loyal U.S. corporate media that the coup wasn't really a coup, but a victory for democracy. And, of course, this resulted in a very undemocratic government, which triggered the secession of Crimea and the Donbass, which is still, you know, rankling nerves today. Defense Minister over in Israel, Defense Minister Benny Gantz and Mossad Chief David Bernay are basically pushing their meetings this week to urge the United States to act militarily against Iran due to the stalled Vienna talks. And my guess is that somebody is going to call up the U.S. government and say, you go whack Iran for us or we'll start releasing those Jeff Epstein videotapes that everybody is so curious about here. Over in Israel, polls are showing more than half of Israelis are okay with Israel going it alone against Iran without U.S. backing. I think this would be an excellent idea. Let Israel take care of their own wars for once. And leave us out of it. We've had enough war. We're a war-weary population. I mean, Iraq, both times, Syria, Afghanistan, Somalia. We've had enough war. We want peace. We want world peace here. The Israeli government is reportedly divided on how they're going to influence Biden on Iran. And obviously working on a multi-pronged campaign to get the Biden administration to use U.S. money and, more importantly, U.S. young people to go after Israel's enemy in Iran. And Israel is still out there saying that Iran is just weeks away from a nuclear bomb. Of course, Israel's been saying that for 30 years now. 30 years. They're getting a bomb. They're getting a bomb. They're getting a bomb. Don't forget, when we went into Iraq, Israel was out there saying Saddam has nuclear weapons. Saddam has nuclear weapons. None were ever found. When Israel bombed Iraq's nuclear power station at Osirak, they justified it saying there was a nuclear bomb factory underneath that power station, you know, kind of like the one Israel has underneath Dimona. And following the invasion, international experts examined the ruins of the Osirak power station, and oh my goodness, they found a ruined power station and nothing else. So, anyway. The Israeli army is going to hold a drill simulating an attack on Iran. So, yeah, go ahead and go it alone. And it might prove to be very interesting because Iran is not going to be easy for Israel to take on unless Israel decides to use its nuclear arsenal. But after all these years of secrecy, the political costs of Israel actually using their nuclear weapons would be massive. I mean, the whole world would know that Israel does have nuclear weapons, has had them all along, has been lying to the world about it. Americans would be very angry because under U.S. law, foreign aid may not be given to any nation in possession of nuclear weapon technology which refuses to sign the nuclear non-proliferation, say that three times fast, agreement, which Israel has not done. And Israel does not allow inspections of its facilities. And yet they continue to get billions and billions of dollars from the U.S. taxpayer, even though it's against the Symington Amendment to the Foreign Appropriations Act and the Glenn Act. So, anyway. Israel has announced they are not going to join the U.S. diplomatic boycott of the Winter Olympics in China. Their officials are going to go and have a really good time. Meanwhile, over in the Air Force, despite a record high budget, the Secretary of the Air Force, Frank Kendall, basically says China is his top priority and that he wants to reshape the Air Force to deal with China. And he wants to basically decommission planes that really don't represent a threat to China. And he's saying, if it doesn't threaten China, why are we doing it? And he thinks some important aircraft have to go, including some C-130 cargo planes. I mean, you always need cargo planes, regardless of who you're dealing with. He wants to retire the A-10 Warthog. There's been a lot of talk about that lately. And I'm anti-war, but the A-10 Warthog is a performer. It's an airborne anti-tank weapon, and it does really well and should not be retired without a good, reasonable replacement. Something else that Kendall wants to retire is the MQ-9 Reaper drone, which has been used to carry out drone strikes across the Middle East over the last 20 years. And Kendall is basically saying these aging warplanes are an anchor holding back the Air Force. Of course, you know what's going to be coming next. The Air Force needs more money to develop new planes. And, the Pentagon is a black hole on Earth. It's a black hole of money. The money goes on in, and that's the last anybody sees of it. Remember back in 2001, on September 10th, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld got up at the Pentagon and admitted the Pentagon had managed to misplace $3 trillion. Should have been the scandal of the year, but, you know, tremendous luck for Donald Rumsfeld. The very next day, 9/11 happened, and one of the planes flew around the Pentagon and came in to crash into the offices of the auditors who were trying to find that money. Golly gee shuckies, the story just went away at that point. Over in India, they are now accepting deliveries of the Russian S-400 air defense system. This despite diplomatic pressure from the United States on India. Now, speaking of the Air Force wanting to get new equipment at your expense, I might add, over at the Reagan National Defense Forum, Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall spoke to Politico and revealed the existence of two new classified drone programs, both built for combat rather than intelligence gathering. And he said they're both unmanned air combat vehicles that are designed to work in conjunction with fighter aircraft like the F-22 or the F-35. And in a significant addition, he said, on the other hand, they work in conjunction with bombers like the B-21. So they're sort of acknowledged classified programs. And, they're going into wonder weapons. And, huge amounts of money are being poured into that. That should be going into our roads and bridges and schools and quality of life here in the United States. Anyway, speaking of the economy, we are now starting to see stagflation happening here in the United States of America. That is not a good sign. Meanwhile, Elon Musk, even though the Build Back Better bill has generous subsidies for electric vehicles, Elon Musk thinks it's a bad idea, and in an interview in the Wall Street Journal said it might be better if Build Back Better does not pass. And, he's basically, he's going to lose money. If the Build Back Better bill does not pass, he will lose money because of those EV subsidies going away. And yet he's still willing to go on out and say what he thinks is right. Okay, since 1995, the richest 1% of the population took 38% of the new global wealth. The bottom half got just 2%. So the rich get richer and the poor get laid off. By the way, that CEO laid off 900 workers in a Zoom call has now apologized. He came on out and said, yeah, that was kind of a tacky and callous thing to do, and I feel really, really bad, and you're all still fired. So, Evergrande has defaulted for the first time again, because there have been reports it defaulted on some of its payments previously, but now they're trying to say, really, really, this time, we mean it. And as a result, China's property sector is showing signs of falling apart this will impact the entire Chinese economy. It will have global repercussions because a lot of foreign investors, including here in the United States of America, have been investing in Chinese corporations. And it's the downside of economic globalism. When a disaster happens one place, it ripples all around the globe. All righty. People are looking at gold again with the more than the usual avarice. Singapore has bought a huge purchase in gold. It's the first purchase in 20 years. Russia has bought $7 billion more worth of gold, making them a prominent player in the global gold market. Meanwhile, the U.S. dollar has stage four cancer, and gold and silver have not lost their shine to crypto. Okay, we've got to take a break for commercials here, and we'll be back with more news after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine, it happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war, who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? A preacher man wags his hand.
Welcome back to our show here. We're still talking about the economy, and there has been a lot of talk about the great resignation, the fact that people are just deciding not to work, and a lot of the blame is being put on government subsidies and handouts, but polls are showing there's something else going on. Over at Business Insider, they ran a poll and they found out that what's causing people to quit their jobs is this post-COVID-19 pandemic environment where they're realizing, you know, they've had to face their own mortality, and they realize life is too short to be unhappy at work. And so they're no longer focused on their careers and employment. They're focused on just being happy and being with their families. And throughout history, there has been the phenomenon of the so-called lost generations. And we saw one after World War I. They were called the Bohemians. They were people who just realized that it doesn't matter how hard they work, you know, it could all be taken away in a great war. And so why bother working? Just, you know, get by and survive. They were called the Bohemians. We had a repeat of that following World War II, where despite the booming prosperity of the 50s, there was this beatnik generation. And again, these were people who didn't see any value in working real hard when it could all be taken away by the next war. And we saw a smaller version of that following Vietnam with the explosion of the hippie movement. So we may be seeing another lost generation out of this COVID-19 nonsense. All right, getting into immigration and globalism. Over in Sweden, a group of researchers wrote a paper about rape cases committed by migrants in the country. It's a serious, serious problem. And the Swedish Ministry of Education and Research, or the MER, has launched an investigation over the issue of ethics regarding this study. And it was three researchers from Lund University. And the MER is saying, do they have the ethical license to handle sensitive data? In other words, the rape statistics and immigration statistics. So, yeah, they don't want you to know what's going on with all of this stuff. Meanwhile, over in St. Petersburg, Russia, they set a new cold record for the city. It dropped to minus 5.8 degrees Fahrenheit, and that is that has broken the record set 128 years ago in 1893. Now, this may be the reason, according to a new Monmouth poll, only 2% of Americans think climate change is a top priority. They're just tuning out this whole human-caused global warming nonsense, especially as the snow comes down here. Oh, my goodness. We have to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.